Madagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello and welcome to King's Kids, heard each week on this station. I'm Heidi. The program features Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison, who shares what God has laid on his heart for you today. But before Tony comes to talk to you, I want to share what King's Kids is about. Tony was not always part of God's family. In his early days, he was a bank robber and was involved in all manner of criminal activities before God took hold of him one night as he was trying to escape the police. He spent 10 years in jail for his crimes, and God used him in amazing ways during his time in prison. As a result of his experience of God over the years, Tony has had a heart to share God's love with whomever God brings across his path. And in 2013, God opened up the opportunity for him to share with you on the radio. King's Kids Ministries grew out of what God has done through Tony and the opportunities he has opened up for him. Tony's desire is to see people come to know Jesus personally and to encourage Christians to love and serve God and to lift up Jesus in their day-to-day lives. At the end of the program, I'll give you the King's Kids website address and a phone number where you can ring Tony if you want to talk. But right now, here's Tony to share on why God gives the same reward of heaven to those who accept Jesus at the end of their life as those who become Christian very young and live their whole life for him. Here's Tony.
Today I want to talk about God's grace. Often a lot of people, they get confused about what God's grace is all about. A lot of new Christians and a lot of old Christians, a lot of Christians that are caught up in legalism, they don't understand what grace is all about. God's grace is for God to give to whomever he chooses, and it's not for us to decide who can have God's grace or not. A lot of Christians don't understand why somebody can be a sinner and be a murderer, can be a rapist, be a pedophile, be a bank robber, and can do all these other things. And just before they die, they become a Christian, they get born again. People think, well, I've been going to church for most of my life, and they don't understand how this can happen. And they get confused, they get upset with God, and they wonder how come that God will allow this to happen. There's a parable in the Bible that says in Matthew 20, verse 1 to 16, about the vineyard. It's exactly what I was talking about. Those who are last shall be first. People that have been saved for a long, long time, they get saved and they die and they go to heaven. But other people that get saved on their deathbed are still going to heaven. The Bible talks about those that are last shall be first, and those that are first shall be last. And it's simple. God said, my grace is sufficient, and I will choose who I give my grace to. And you know, the story of the vineyard is like this. Those who goes out and get employed by God to go out and do his work at 7 o'clock, and they do it for a certain amount of money. Then the owner of the vineyard comes out and he employs people, say, at 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And even at 5 o'clock, he says to them, will you go and work for a certain price? And everybody agrees to go and work for that price. But what happens is, when it comes to giving them their reward for their payment for their labor, you know, those who was first, they get the money that they agreed to. And those who were last get the money they was agreed to. And you see, it's like this. God promised us he will give us his reward for our labor. And God promises are true and correct because he is God. And if you agreed to do the work for the day and, you know, you get paid what is yours, we can't grumble about if we get saved when we're 8 years old. We cannot grumble if somebody gets saved on their deathbed because it's not our problem. Because it's God's problem, and it's not a problem to God because God will do whatever he wants to do because he is God. And God can turn around and change anybody and save them at any time. So we got to read this parable in the true context what it is, that those who are last shall be first and those who are first shall be last. But the same thing is we're all saved. It doesn't matter whether we're saved as a 10-year-old or if we're saved if we go to our deathbed. I'm reminded of one more story, and I'll tell you this quickly. Robert Trimboli from Underbelly fame, who was a famous drug lord in the Griffiths area, escaped Australia, escaped the police, and was hiding out in Spain. And he was a notorious criminal of his time. But you know what? 2 weeks before he died in prison, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour. He's going to be with the Lord. And you see, it doesn't matter how he lived his life, it's how he finishes the race. And it doesn't matter how we start in life, it's how we finish it. And God says, be faithful and run the race as I give you, but run it continuously in faith and never give up.
My heart, I can't look back.
I'm reminded of a story when I was in prison. A man called Wayne Williams, somebody gave me his testimony. And I listened to his testimony, and he was just as bad as I was. And when he got arrested, he testified on behalf of the police against other gangsters. And he got a suspended sentence and never went to prison. And after hearing his testimony, I remember getting mad and angry at God. And I said, God, how come I had to go to prison for the same sort of crimes, yet this man didn't? And you see, God said to me, Tony, you need to go to prison because I need to change you and I need to work on things in your life. But you're in prison because I called you to be there, because this is where you're going to start. I'm going to build a relationship with you so that you can do the things that I want you to do in ministry. And you're right where I want you to be. And then I remember God saying to me, Tony, he said, just put your trust in me and I will deliver you. I will keep you safe and I'll be with you for the rest of your life. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I took comfort from what God had told me. And then somebody came to the prison and said to me one day, man, you was a really bad dude. How come someone as bad as you, God can do something with? And he kept saying, you was really bad. You was really bad. You was a bank robber. You was all these things. He said, I've heard about your testimony from other people. And I wonder how come God can save somebody like you. And I just said to the Lord under my breath, I said, Lord, what do I say to this man? I don't even know this man. He's come to the prison full of judgment. And all he's done was criticize me and say things of, you know, how bad I was. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Tony, this is what you need to say to him. Now, I didn't know this bloke from Adam. And I just said to God, I said, what can I say to this man that's going to stop him in his tracks? And not knowing the man, I looked at him and I said, I perceive from God that you're a pastor's son and your father was a pastor's son and your great-grandfather and your father before you were pastor's son. And you know what? I want to say this to you. Before you and the rest of your family got saved, you were still sinners and you were going to hell. You was going to the same place I am before I got saved. And as far as God is concerned, it doesn't matter whether you do a big sin or commit a small sin. Sin is sin. And God says that if you have sin in your life and you're not saved and you're not born again and you're not repentant of what you've done, then you're going to hell. God says, you know, if you tell a lie or if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, then you've committed adultery. And the Bible says that those who commit adultery, those who tell lies, those who commit murder, there's only one place for you. You're going to hell. Unless you repent and become born again, there's no other place for you to go. There's no in between. There's no such thing as, well, I'm going to go to purgatory and somebody will pay the price for me and pray me out of there later on. That's a lot of baloney. That's all I can tell you about that. There's only one place to go, heaven or hell, and you've got to decide where you want to be. I've heard a lot of people tell me over the years that, you know, when I'm dead, I'm going to decide where I want to spend eternity. And a lot of people say, just before I die, I will get that chance to make that decision. Well, you know what? A lot of people don't get that choice where they want to spend eternity, because sometimes they die in their sleep. Sometimes they die in a road accident and they don't get a chance to make their peace with God. So we got to live every day as if we don't know what's going to happen the next minute or the next moment. I remember another guy from prison, and he came into prison, and this man, he committed some horrific crimes. And, you know, this man was one of the most notorious wanted men in New South Wales. Him and his partner, they murdered a man on the side of the highway at one of the truck stops just for fun. This man was sleeping on the side of the road. He was a salesman. They just pulled up and just for kicks, they decided to rob him and they shot him with a rifle and left him there on the side of the road. A salesman. When that man got up that morning, he had no idea that when he pulled up to take a rest on the side of the road, he had no idea that he would be murdered that day and he would have to give an account for his life. So your thing is, we've got to live every day as if Christ is going to tap us on the shoulder and call us home. But not only did they murder this man on the side of the road, they went further out into the out west, and they found a woman where one of these men actually worked on a property. And they went to this place and they kidnapped the farmer's wife. They took her away. They raped her repeatedly. They did a lot of horrible, horrific things to her. And in the end, they finally killed her and they left her to die after shooting her. And you know, there was a big man out on for these killers that killed this woman. And I remember when the police actually got this person, and they brought him to Moree Police Station. And my dear old dad was one of the people that actually stormed on the police station, and they wanted to lynch these people. And you know, I remember it well, because see, I was in prison at the time, and my dad came and saw me for a visit and told me how angry they was at this stuff that happened. And you see, then my dad had a heart attack. He had to go to Sydney for a triple bypass. And this guy that he was upset with, he became a Christian in prison. And he said to me one day, he said at a Bible study that I was running, and I asked people to pray for me dad. And he said he started praying. And then I wrote a letter to my dad and I said, Dad, this man that you hated so much has given his heart to God, and he is now praying for you to get better. And I tell you what, that moved my dad. My dad wasn't saved, but it really moved him in his heart. And when Dad came to visit, Dad was really touched by this guy praying for him. No matter how horrific his crimes was, he found God. And if he died the next day, he was still going to heaven, whether we like it or not. Because see, God's grace, he's not dependent on you, not dependent on me. He's not dependent on the Catholic priest down the road. It's not dependent whether we say the right amount of prayers and we give our penance and say so many Hail Marys and whatever else. It's grace is God's grace, and it's God's choice who he gives his grace to. And we've got to understand that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for everybody, not a select few of people. Jesus came to die for everybody. And we got to realize that God is God, and he will give his grace to wherever he chooses. And we got to accept that. And we don't understand what God is doing, because you know what? As the heavens are higher than the earth, God's ways are higher than ours. And you know, God is never wrong. God is right all the time. And God is faithful and just. And God will give everybody a chance to come to know him before they die. You know what the Bible says? Every man was born once, and every man will die. There's nothing surer than that. There's another guarantee. No matter how much money we accumulate on the earth, we can't take it with us. We can build up all the money in the world. We can build mansions for ourselves. The Bible says that. There was a parable in the Bible where this man built huge barns, and he wanted to tear down his old barns and build bigger storage spaces because his wealth was so great. But you know what? God said, I'm going to give you to give account for your life tonight. So who's going to gain from all the wealth that you've stored up for yourself? So we got to start thinking about whether we want to build up wealth on the earth, or do we want to build up wealth in heaven? I know where I want to put my wealth, and I want to build it in heaven. I want the Lord to say to me one day when I stand before him, well done, my faithful servant. I am well pleased with you. To have God say that to me is worth more than all the money in the world, because I know my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, he's going to look after me. He's going to be with me every day for the rest of my life. And I will lack for nothing, because I belong to him and he belongs to me. You know how wonderful it is to wake up in the morning and know that God is God? You know, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
There's a express all this joy and gratefulness. Still I sing this song of love and thanks and praise. It's because I'm forgiven. It's because I am free. It's because you show me mercy and you believe in me. It's because you are my Savior. It's because you are my friend. And your love, it lifts me higher than I've ever been. Oh, the wonder of your ways. Oh, the measure of your grace. Greater than my heart can know. So how could I not celebrate? How could I not bless your name? Singing out a song of love.
Ourselves with God's love and protection every day. We know no matter what the world throws at us, Jesus will always be there to protect us. It doesn't matter what we do. You know, I'm telling you now, if you sin, whether you tell a little white lie or a little black lie, if you look at a woman and you look at her with lust in your eyes, you committed adultery. If you covet your neighbor's goods, or if you covet your neighbor's wife, or if you do any little sin, there's no difference in God's eyes whether you commit murder, rob banks, own a brothel, or you're a drug addict, if you're a liar or a cheater. God doesn't see you any different. Sin is sin as far as God's concerned. But you know what? We don't have to live with that sin because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. He took all our sins and he nailed it to the tree on that cross. And Jesus died so that we can be set free from all that. And we know that there's a God in heaven who loves us and he takes his time to make us the way that he wants us to be. Every day as we trust God, he takes away the things of the world. And every day he puts a bit more of God's love into us. We're never going to be perfect in this life. But there comes a day when God is going to change us. And instantly, supernaturally, we will be changed. And when the Lord calls the roll up yonder, I want to be there. Because when the rapture comes, God is going to be with us. I just hope when the Lord calls us home and he brings the rapture, I just want to be standing next to two sinners. I want to grab one in each hand as I'm going through the clouds. I say, you're going to repent or do I let you go? Because God is so good and so gracious. I'm reminded of another story that I prayed for this bloke in jail, and he said he became a Christian, and I'd struggled with getting people to the Lord. And this guy kept saying to me, I led 10 people to the Lord today. And I was so jealous. I said, Lord, you know, I've been, you know, knocking myself out till I'm black in the face trying to lead people to the Lord in prison, and this bloke gets 10 people in one day. And the Lord said, Tony, you need to go and see what he's doing. And this guy was a lifer. And he was getting prisoners by themselves. This man was never to be let out of jail. And he was going up to new prisoners and saying, look, do you want to give your heart to the Lord? And then he'd grab them by the throat and start choking them. And as he tightened his grip on their throat, he said, you either accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, or I'm going to choke you till you die. And so, of course, they come to the Lord. They didn't have much choice. It was either die or meet their maker anyway. And you see, what he was doing, his heart was right, but his motives and the way that he did things was wrong. See, God doesn't use that to get people to come to the Lord. God is so gentle and so loving. God is like wooing a bride for the first time. God wants to speak to your heart. God wants to love you. He wants to woo you into the kingdom. God is so loving and so gentle. The Holy Spirit is so precious. You know, God treats us like we're the bride of Christ. And he woos us. You know, when you meet a girl for the first time, all you do is think about her. And you think how you're going to impress her. Us fellas, when we meet a girl for the first time, when we go out with her, we try to be on our best behaviour. We try not to pick our nose, break wind at the table. And when we're at their place, we always put the toilet seat down. We try to impress them. And the girls are not like that too, because, you know, when they hang their undies up in the shower room and they do all these things, but they all change because they want to impress the person that they're with. But you see, after a while, they put their guard down and they just become themselves. And that's all God ever wants from us. He wants us to be ourselves for him. God doesn't want us to be somebody else. God called me to be Tony Dennison. He didn't call me to be Billy Graham. He called me to be Tony Dennison for him. God is so good and so gracious that if we allow God to work in our lives, God will change us. And he will be God of our lives. Today, if you put your trust in God, he will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, the best part is that, you know, I'm just like you people that are not saved. I sin, and I commit a sin against God all the time because I'm not perfect. But you know what? I'm saved by grace. That magical word, saved by grace, saved by the blood of Jesus. When I do sin and I make mistakes, we have the Holy Spirit inside us that will check us and tell us in our spirit that we've done wrong. And that's when we repent and ask God to forgive us. You know what the Bible says? If we open our mouths and confess with our mouths our sin, and we ask God to forgive us, he takes away that sin and he justifies us just as if we never sinned. You know, today I want you to think about who you are and where you stand with Christ today. Just remember that Jesus loves you, and he will give you a chance to come into the kingdom, no matter how bad you are or how little you think you are as far as your sin goes. There's no difference in God between murder and telling a white lie or looking at a woman with lust in your eyes. There's still sin. And if you don't repent, there's only one place for you to go, and that's hell. So today, pray and think about what I've told you. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Heaven or hell is your choice. God doesn't send you to hell. You choose to go there. But you don't have to, because Jesus paid the price for you to go to heaven. If you want to talk to Tony about this, you can ring him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. You can also check out the King's Kids website at kingskidsministries.org. I'm Heidi, and Tony and I thank you for listening today. We'll be back next week at the same time. Bye for now, and God bless. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.